Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. You'll find that in your pew Bibles at page 1042. This is about Jesus' teaching on prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or, if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Here ends the reading.
So it'd be really helpful if you could turn in your Bibles, Luke chapter 11, although we're also looking at the Lord's Prayer as in Matthew chapter 6, and let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, as your disciples asked you then, so we ask you now. Teach us to pray. In your name, amen. So we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, as Joy said, in our morning services, and we've been looking at it slowly, these Sundays between Easter and Pentecost, looking slowly at this prayer that Jesus gave his disciples when they came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And these words, the version in Luke that we just read, just 34 words, possibly the single set of words that have been spoken more than any other in the history of the world. Can't prove that, but you could make a good case for it. It's a prayer that has been prayed publicly and privately, mindlessly repeated and sincerely recited by millions and millions and millions of people in the 2 millennia since Jesus gave it to his church. It's a big prayer. Someone once said, "Pray it slowly, each phrase weighs a ton." And yet it's so familiar, it's so easy to dash off lightly that we often don't feel its weight. I grew up in Oxfordshire, not far from Brize Norton, the well-known military air base. And in fact, our house was under the flight path, or one of the flight paths, of the huge cargo planes weighed down with tanks and equipment and supplies and soldiers, their engines rumbling as they sort of clawed their way up into the sky. They made a terrible noise, and as a family, we were pretty used to the sound. If they came overhead, we'd hear it, but we didn't really notice it. It did not distract or deter us from whatever it was we were doing. But if we ever had guests, they would jump out of their skins. And if it ever happened early in the morning when they're in bed, they would wake up thinking, I remember some guests saying, we thought World War III had started. They'd say, what was that? We'd say, oh, it was the Brize Norton planes. We don't really notice it anymore. So too the Lord's Prayer. The weight of these few lines, this profound powerful prayer that Jesus gave to us. How to approach God, the living God. How to encounter him. What to say to him. And yet we say, oh, it's the Lord's Prayer. We don't really notice it anymore. It just passes us by. So we've been looking at it, praying it slowly. If you remember, we kind of went through it quickly when we looked at the Sermon on the Mount last term, and we come back to go through it more slowly. In the last 2 weeks, we looked at the first half, the first two lines, and if you wanted to summarize them, we could say that they are about relationship and reorientation. Relationship, because Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father. And this is the relationship that sets the context for the prayer. Everything else flows from this opening word, Father. For the Christian, the great privilege to know the living God as our Heavenly Father. Relationship. And reorientation. As I come in prayer with my worries, my needs, my limited horizon, my perspective, firstly, we are taught to pray, your kingdom, your will. I need to reorientate myself as I come to God in prayer. I once preached a sermon on the first half of the Lord's Prayer. I preached it here. In fact, I don't imagine anyone would remember it. But the points were simply this. Forget about yourself. Focus on your Father. That's the first half. And now today we enter the second half, and there's a shift from relationship to reorientation to requests. And in fact, three main requests that come in quick succession: give us bread, forgive us sins, lead us not, deliver us. And we're looking at the first of these today. Give us today our daily bread. And I've said it's a shift. In many ways, it seems like a massive gear shift, a crunching of the gears, even. In one line, the line before, I was offering prayers that embrace the destiny of the universe. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And now, one line later, I'm asking God for bread. I'm bringing my practical daily needs. It's quite a shift. And yet this is how Jesus teaches us to pray. And I'm going to look at this line under the three phrases or words that make up the request, really. Give us bread today. So firstly, give us. We're talking this morning about petitionary prayer. In other words, asking God for things. This is the most basic, the most instinctive form of prayer. There are other parts to prayer, of course: adoration, confession, intercession, submission, contemplation, meditation, all good, all important. But prayer at its most basic is this: I have a need. I ask God to meet it. To put it bluntly, this is why most people get into praying in the first place. That's why we pray. And when I say that this is prayer at its most basic, I don't mean it's unsophisticated to pray this way and that we should move beyond this. Not at all. No, not at all. We are encouraged, permitted, commanded to ask God for things. In our reading this morning from Luke's Gospel, Jesus follows the Lord's Prayer with a parable about a man in need, asking a friend for help, knocking at his door, waking his friend up in the middle of the night with his requests. And Jesus concludes, we finished the reading this morning, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Ask. The book of James says very simply and starkly, you do not have because you do not ask God. Why does God want us to ask? In Matthew's Gospel, just before he teaches them the Lord's Prayer, Jesus advises his disciples not to babble, not to go on, not to pray lengthy prayers, because he says, your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. Well, if he knows, why does he need us to ask in the first place? There's a moment in the Gospels where Jesus meets a man called blind Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, blind Bartimaeus is blind and he's begging in the street. He's shouting out for Jesus as he's coming through his town, and Jesus calls him and Bartimaeus gets up onto his feet. He feels his way through the crowd to Jesus and he gets there and Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And surely the crowd are thinking, Jesus, do you really need to ask? But Jesus asks, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says, I want to see. Well, there's a surprise. Never would have guessed that. And Jesus heals him, restores his sight. What do you want me to do for you? God wants to be asked. Why? Well, asking is an expression of dependence. Lord, I need your help. This is spiritually very healthy. If we didn't ask, we might just think, well, this is our right, or just because of our own wonderfulness or whatever. It is an expression of our dependence. In asking us to ask, God is giving us the dignity of deciding what we want, of choosing our requests. It turns out that God is not some kind of divine dictator telling everyone what they need regardless. No, he is a great delegator. What is it that you want? You tell me what you need and what you want me to do. There's lots more we could say, but the main point is this. It's not enough to sit quietly by the side just waiting for a miracle. We are commanded to ask boldly, unashamedly, repeatedly. Give us. What are you asking God for? What do you need to ask God for? What do you want me to do for you? Says Jesus. So give us. It's the first thing. Secondly, bread. Give us bread. Jesus teaches us to pray for bread. In the history of the church, some people have felt that ordinary bread, all the practical material needs that stands for, is too unspiritual a thing to pray for. God doesn't want to be troubled with our trivia. Prayer must be about more than the details of our daily existence. So people have said, and they've seen in this prayer, this must be for more, for something else, a prayer for God to feed us through his word. After all, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from God. Or a prayer for us to experience more of Jesus himself. Of course, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who feeds on me will never be hungry. So this is a prayer for us to experience more of Jesus. Or a prayer that looks ahead to Holy Communion. As we share today, bread and wine. We'll say Joy will say in a little bit of time, draw near with faith. Feed on him in your hearts by faith and with thanksgiving. And there is something in all of these things, of course. Prayer for God to feed us through his word, for us to experience more of Jesus. It looks to communion as we come to God with all of our needs and our requests. They must include our need for his word and for Christ himself, for him to feed us and fill us. But in teaching us to pray for bread, ordinary material bread, Jesus is clearly teaching us that God is, in fact, bothered, very bothered, in the details of our daily existence And we can ask him for the ordinary things. There are, of course, people around the world who literally are praying for their next meal. As we read this line in this prayer, we must remember that. But for those of us whose fridges are full, as we pray this prayer, we are reminded that all we have comes from God. And we are encouraged to bring him all our needs. It's a prayer for necessities, not luxuries. It's not, as Janis Joplin sang, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?" That's not the prayer. It is a prayer for bread. But as we pray it, we recognize that all we have comes from God. It leads us to gratitude. And we are commanded to bring all our needs to God. It leads us to dependence. That's a healthy thing, to be a dependent of the living God. So what are you asking God for? What do you need to ask God for? What do you want me to do for you? Says Jesus. Give us bread today. Do you remember lockdown and loo rolls? Of course you do. The panic buying, the stockpile cupboards, the empty shelves in the supermarkets. Please leave some for others. Some of us, maybe all of us, are instinctive hoarders, especially when we feel insecure. We gather to make us feel safe and secure. Jesus told a parable about a man who built bigger barns to store his extensive harvest. It's called the parable of the rich fool. Give us today our daily bread, says Jesus. It's a prayer for enough. Enough for the day. And with that, it's a prayer for contentment. That enough is enough. It reminds us of the people of God in the wilderness. If you remember in the book of Exodus, in the wilderness and the miracle of the manna from heaven. And do you remember each day, bread from heaven? But when the people tried to store it up, stockpiles of it, what happened? The next day it turned rotten, full of maggots. And they were taught to trust God's provision for each day. And Jesus teaches us to pray one day at a time. He says later in Matthew chapter 7, "Do not worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Of course, there's nothing wrong with planning ahead. We're to be wise and to be good stewards. But the Lord's Prayer teaches us to pray one day at a time. A prayer for enough. A prayer for contentment. In fact, it's a teaching not just about daily food, but about daily prayer. This is a prayer that needs to be prayed daily. Daily prayer for daily bread. Give us bread today. What are you asking God for? What do you need to ask God for? What do you want me to do for you? Says Jesus. I'm conscious that we haven't talked about this morning unanswered prayer. Some of you are thinking of things that you have been asking God for a long time and still no answer. That will have to wait for a later sermon in this series. But I want to finish with a final word for this prayer, to go back to the beginning. Father. Father. That's the relationship within which we make these requests. Our Father in heaven. I've said that as we move into the second half of the Lord's Prayer, we move from God's concerns, His glory, His kingdom, His will to our needs, bread and forgiveness and protection. This is the second half, but that does not mean that these prayers are of secondary importance. The lesser half, that would be entirely the wrong conclusion. Of course, from an internal perspective, praying for God's kingdom to come is of greater significance than prayer for my difficult meeting tomorrow, or whatever it is. Actually, I've got a meeting with Joy tomorrow. That's not, it's not a difficult meeting. Whatever it is, from an eternal perspective, God's kingdom and all of the destiny of the cosmos is greater than my little things. But from a relational perspective, we are God's dearly loved children. He is a willing and generous Father who Jesus tells us loves to give good gifts to His children. And it's the relational perspective that is key to this prayer. That's how it began, as we come to our Father. In Luke 11, our reading this morning, Jesus tells the parable of a friend at midnight knocking at the door, asking for what? What's he asking for? 3 loaves of bread. And Jesus' point in this parable is that God is much more than a friend. We can approach Him with greater confidence and ease. How many friends do you have who you could wake up in the middle of the night? Some, but I suggest it is a limited list. Special friendship. And even then, you probably couldn't wake them up regularly and repeatedly. That would really test the limits of your friendship. Ellen and I, as we juggle, you know, children and babysitting requests and who can help out, we're always thinking, have we asked too much? Do we need to, you know, return the favor before we make another ask? God is more than a friend. He is our Father. John Newton, who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace, wrote other hymns, and one of them has a verse that goes like this. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions to him bring. But actually, in Jesus' prayer, the petitions that we focus on in this line are actually not necessarily the large ones. They're the ordinary ones. Bread. And it's the relationship that is critical. Who'd wake a king up in the middle of the night to ask for a glass of water? None of the servants. But a child would. Dad, I need some water. And Jesus' prayer teaches us to bring all our requests before our loving, gracious, good Father with the ease and confidence of a dearly loved child. Let's pray together. So, Lord Jesus, we pray, teach us to ask. Help us to ask, to be willing, to be dependents of the living God. Give us the boldness and the strength to ask and keep on asking, to knock and keep on knocking with the ease and confidence of dearly loved children of our Heavenly Father. We ask this in your name. Amen.